If you would, you want to follow along, I'm going to be in John chapter 8. I don't know, my Bible's all marked up around this place. John chapter 8, and I just want to begin reading in verse 20. These words spake Jesus in the treasury as he taught in the temple, and no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come. Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come. Then said the Jews, will he kill himself, because he saith, whither I go, ye cannot come. And he said unto them, ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of this world, I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins, for if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Then said they unto him, who art thou? And Jesus saith unto him, even the same that I said unto you from the beginning. I have many things to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. They understood not that he spake to them of the Father. And we'll stop right there, because there's a lot of ground covered in that read. I remember being fascinated by Earl Cochran in times past. How he could spend weeks in one verse. And I thought, man, how's he do that? And the more I learn and the more I look and the more I study and the more God reveals to me, you sometimes wonder how you don't. Because there is so much in these scriptures of the truth of God that each word that our Lord spoke is precious. And what he taught was precious, and what he taught was not what the world wants to hear. And this was his message here in this place to these people, but it's also a message to us. Jesus Christ spake these words in the treasury as he taught in the temple. Now, Jesus Christ's ministry was teaching what the Father told him. His ministry was not just about miracles and signs and wonders, even though he did those. He fed a multitude at least twice. He healed the sick in person and from a distance by his word alone. He laid hands on lepers and cleansed them. He gave sight to one born blind. He healed the lame, and that thing just kicked out already. I believe we may have to get another one of those. Either that or it doesn't like me, because it works for Walter. I don't know. You can push it back in and start it again. It'll just put a track two on it. But yeah, it seems to be getting out quicker. It doesn't like to work cold. Maybe that's it. I don't know. If I heat it up, it never works again. He healed the lame, the man by the pool at Bethesda, and he raised the dead. A guy by the name of Lazarus. But what was most important to him, I believe, was what he taught. His words. This is all we have. I remember Earl talking about people, all you do is fuss about words. That's all I got. That's all there is. I have no way to convey anything to you except for by voice or by writing something down, and both of them are using words. That's all I got because I don't know sign language. The few signs I do know, you're not supposed to use in public. Well, they frown on that. This is all we have. But what we have here are his words, preaching his message, which came from the Father. You can't get any truer than that. And he spoke the truth always. Always. And the world has no idea at all how glorious that is. The world has no idea at all just how important that is. And the world has no idea at all how hard it is. You can try it and see. Because if you speak the truth always, darn near everyone will hate you. This includes friends, relatives, co-workers, and strangers. They hated him without a cause. And they hated him because of his words. For a good work, we stone thee not. The world's all in favor of good works as long as they get to define them. And limit them. But preaching the truth of his gospel, preaching the truth of Jesus Christ, they don't consider that a good work at all. You're sowing dissension among us. Well, maybe you need some. Sorry. No, I'm telling the truth. Paul asked them, fellows, am I become your enemy because I speak the truth to you? The answer was yes, for some of them. The answer was yes. The truth will make known a division. The truth doesn't make the division. The division was already there. The separation is already here. And that's part of what Christ is preaching here. That separation exists. It's real. But the truth will make it manifest. These words spake Jesus in the treasury as he taught in the temple, and no man laid hands on him. Why? For his hour had not yet come. And I thought about what John just wrote there and what he didn't write there. John did not write that no man wanted to lay hands on him. He just wrote that no one did. Because almost every time he spoke, somebody wanted to lay hands on him. And a couple of places they did, but he walked out of their midst. And a couple of places they didn't, because he didn't permit it. John did not write that everyone was enlightened by his words, the words of the Christ of God. John did not write that everyone was delighted, enjoyed, or rejoiced, or was blessed with the spoken word of God, spoken by the word of God. But he did write that no man did lay hands on him. Why? Because his hour had not yet come. I think some did want to lay hands on him right then and there. Verse 21. Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come. How to win friends and influence people. If we preach this in the First Baptist Church, they'd throw us out. They'd want to lay hands on us. But this is how Christ starts out here. I go my way. Basic, primer, beginning doctrine. Jesus Christ has his way. And it's his way. My way. Not your way. Not my way. His way. Not the Baptist way. Not the Presbyterian way. Not the Lutheran way. Not the Catholic way. Not the Islam way. He has my way. His way. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. And Jesus Christ goes his way. Now, simply by the fact of him calling it my way leads us to the conclusion that there may be another way. But it's not another way. And there is another way. He spoke of it. Now, whose way is that? It doesn't matter. Because it's not his way. Another way is not his way. And he told us a little bit about this. The other way has a wide gate. The other way is a broad way. And this other way leads to destruction. And this other way is very, very, very popular. Many there be which go in thereat. But it's not my way. It's not Christ's way. And it leads to destruction and nothing else. Nothing else. Christ does not go another way, for there is actually no other way. Jesus Christ at this time was going in the way of the Messiah according to the scriptures. He was headed for his death. He was preaching the will of the Father, the words of the Father, and he was going to perform everything the Father gave him to do. I go my way. And we need to thank God for that. Because had he not gone his way, we would be left to our own way, which was the broad way. His way was to become the perfect sacrifice, the perfect substitute, the perfect substitutionary sacrifice for sin. His way was to lay down his life for the sheep, just as he had promised. Or actually, in this case, he was going to promise in a couple of chapters. I get my timelines mixed up. He promised. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. And it did happen. Just exactly according to the scriptures. And he was going his way. He told these men to their face he was going on his way. And then he said, ye shall seek me. Seek me. And I find this fascinating. He was talking to these Jews here, and he told them they were going to seek him because these men were seeking the Messiah. They just didn't know he was the Messiah. They were seeking the Christ, the Anointed One, the Holy One of Israel. He was standing in front of them teaching. The Deliverer, the Savior, the Redeemer, he was talking to them face to face, and they did not know it. Because Jesus of Nazareth is the Christ of God. And it does show how depraved man is. The depravity of man is total, and he's dead in trespasses and sins. How wicked is the heart of man? The scripture says desperately. What was the parable Christ taught? And what did the people say? We will not have this man to reign over us. They wouldn't have the man who was speaking to them, the man who was God, the man who was delivering the words of the Father to them in person. God manifests in the flesh, speaking to human. I don't understand how that can happen and people just don't fall down. But there was a time I did it. There was a time you did it. When we turned a deaf ear to the Christ of God. When we turned a deaf ear to His Word. I can't imagine it now. But I did it. And these people... This is what one of the things that is just so boggling to me. They heard his voice physically. And still, no, I was going to say they didn't respond, but no, they did respond. They responded what's known as negatively. The Old Testament declares that the plowing of the wicked is sin. That's very true. But so is the seeking of the wicked. Christ told these men, ye shall seek me, and ye shall die in your sins. And Walter, when I started looking at this, this is not exactly what I was wanting to do. This is not the point I was getting toward. But it's here. I can't do away with it. And I can't deny the context of it. These are six words I don't want to hear. Not from the Christ of God, not from Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. Ye shall die in your sins. It's not exactly what you would call a positive message. I do not want to die in my sins. I have been in my sins. I don't want to be there anymore. I don't want to be there anymore. By His grace, by His power, by His sacrifice, by His way, by His work, I'm not in my sins anymore. Colossians 2 and verse 13, Paul put it this way, "And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath He quickened together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses." Again, by His grace, I have gone, and every believer has gone, from being dead in my sins to being dead to sin. Romans 6:2 says this, "God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord." Now that does not mean by any stretch of the imagination that I am sinless in and of my flesh. But I am dead to sin in Him. And that word reckon, Walter, you talked about that. I believe the word translated reckon refers to facts, not suppositions. This is the conclusion. You count yourselves to be dead to sin. Because in Christ, we are dead to sin. But Christ told these men that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am, and that word "he" is interpolated, you can leave it out. Because if ye believe not that I am, the name of God, I am, ye shall die in your sins. Said it twice. Said it twice. How am I different from these men here? By His grace, by His work, by His faith, which He gives, I believe that He is the great I am. They didn't. Believers never die in their sins. Unbelievers always do. It can't be that simple. Well, it's not that simple. But it is that true. There's a lot that goes into this. But that statement that Christ made is exactly right. Whoever Jesus Christ was speaking to right here. He said, ye shall die in your sins. Now, you want to put a question mark after that, you go right ahead. I'm not going to do it. There's no question mark. He was speaking according to his Father when he said those six words, as well as everything else he said. That's as true as his resurrection of Lazarus. His resurrection of Lazarus. When he said, Lazarus, come forth. And at the word Lazarus, he was alive. And at the word come forth, he came forth. Even though he was still bound in grave clothes. Ye shall die in your sins is just as true as that. Just as certain as our forgiveness in Christ are the words of Jesus Christ to these Jews that he was talking to, that he was speaking to. I go my way, ye shall seek me, and ye shall die in your sins. Because if you believe not that I am, you're going to die in your sins. This is not theory. This is reality. The reverse is also true, though. If you believe, you will not die in your sins. If he gives you life, if he gives you faith, if he reveals the gospel, the good news of his work to you, and you believe him, you will not die in your sins. This work is all his. But what we see here, and we're going to, Lord willing, if I go further into this, Walter, you said it. It's throughout the book. There is an election which is of grace. But if there's an election, there's also a reprobation. Jesus Christ told these men, you're going to die in your sins. He didn't give them an out. Not that I see here. There is no out. Now, just a couple of verses later, a few verses later, we will see that he may not have been speaking to exactly everyone with these words, because there is some stuff that happens. But whoever he was speaking to here, they died in their sins.
They died for sins.
And guess what? They're still dead in their sins. And then I'm sorry, it's not the happiest message in the world right now. But this is the message that he preached. And I can't alter it. I can't change the context just to suit my purposes. I don't want to. Because this is serious business. There is an elect of God. And there is the reprobate. And that Broadway is full of many who are on the way to destruction. And I don't want to be in that number. He said this, whither I go, ye cannot come. You people always get tied up in these cannot stuff. No. No, we are not obsessed with the cannots. It's just that they're everywhere. the cannots and the will nots. We're not obsessed with them, but it does seem that way to a world who doesn't understand them at all or believe in them. It does seem that way. Because the worst thing you can say to a person in this world is, well, you can't do that. That's right. Yeah. It doesn't even matter that they don't want to. Don't you tell me what I can't do. But that's this world. Guess what? I'm not of this world. I'm in it, but I'm not of it. And I'm thankful for it. Christ said, whither I go, ye cannot come. Whoever he's talking to. From the beginning of this book to the end of this book, Walter said a couple weeks ago, you'll see the depravity of man. And from the beginning of this book to the end of this book, you will see the grace of God. And from the beginning of this book to the end of this book, you will see Jesus Christ. Or you'll see nothing at all of any value. Man fell in the garden, he rebelled in the world, and right now he is rebelling in this same world. And he's going to rebel unto the end of the world. That's perseverance. That's depravity. That's being dead to God. That's being alienated from Christ. That's knowing nothing at all of the Holy Spirit. And that's this world that we live in. Whither I go, ye cannot come. And Jesus Christ said it, and Jesus Christ meant it, and that's the way it is. You're going to seek me, and you're going to die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come. You can't come my way. Wait, straight's the gate, narrow's the way, and few there be that find it. Well, yes, that's it. But the only way you're going to find it is if he gives it to you. You can't take credit for that. The only way you're going to find it is to come alive. And you can't take credit for that. The only way you're going to find it is to believe him and to know him. And you can't take credit for that. I can't take credit for any of it. But I can cling to it. I can hold on to him. These people couldn't. He said it, not me. That's what it says. I go my way, and Christ's way is unto the Father. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father except by me. No other way comes to the Father but his way. But his way comes to the Father. If he brings you in like a lost sheep, you're going to be in. Because he's going to bring you in his way. And it is his way. And his way is complete. It is perfect, and it is holy. And there are some who cannot come. That is the facts. as spoken by Jesus Christ himself. But the fact is also, he is saving every one of his sheep. And he is bringing them in his way, the only way. Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful again for this time and this place, but most of all for your Son, the Lord from glory, God manifest in the flesh, who came his way and performed your will and saved his people from their sins so that we would not die in our sins. Thank you, Lord. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.